This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel. And hello. I'm like in my pocket trying to turn off my phone volume for 20 minutes, and I couldn't get it. Okay, I got it. Guys, I'm going to be 100% with you. I had an edible earlier, mm-hmm. and I was promised that it would chill me out. Mm-hmm. A bitch is chill.
Yeah.
A bitch is so chill.
It's, a delicious brand called Wild, and they have a line of edibles in different amounts. That's a 1-to-1 THC to CBD, 10 milligrams. And yes, typically CBD, when combined with THC, mellows the psychoactive effects of THC.
If you're a packaging girly like I am, the packaging is pristine. It's like simultaneously cute and pretty.
I know.
And fun.
Really cute.
Yeah. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about strain wise today. I just wanted to give an honorable mention because mm-hmm. I'm feeling good. Mm-hmm. But I am smoking the strain today.
Yes. And that strain is called Oreos. And it is a cross between the strains Secret Weapon and Cookies and Cream.
Secret Weapon, that's fun.
Yeah. I think I've done Secret Weapon.
Probably. We've done so many at this point.
But that is a cross between Cheesequake and White Widow strain, which is a hybrid, typically sativa dominant, around 25% usually. It has a focused, energetic, creative mental high, so it's good for morning or daytime use. And that's Secret Weapon. And then Cookies and Cream is bred by multiple cannabis cup winner Exotic Genetics and is the offspring of Starfighter and an undisclosed Girl Scout cookie phenotype.
Ooh.
I love Girl Scout cookies. So, user reports for, like, from the recreational side, if you are in a state in which you can smoke recreationally, people tend to smoke this strain as a relaxing daytime smoke, for laid back parties or get togethers, to relax after work, to stimulate creative thinking, or when doing chores.
Ooh.
And some of the top ailments and symptoms for medical patients would be anxiety or racing thoughts, depression.
So sorry.
Stress. Physical pain, low appetite, so appetite stimulation, and sleep issues. And
all of which I have.
Let me see the bag.
The packaging is cute on that one, too.
It is 26%, so yeah, right around the 25% mark for THC. And it's also, there are reports that there are some unwanted side effects for people who have particularly low tolerance for cannabis, which could include headache, couch lock, or dry mouth, but that typically happens all the time anyway.
Yeah, I get dry mouth every single time I smoke. I'm straight up always like, I have to brush my teeth more when I smoke because I feel like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, just dry.
So that's Oreos, and it smells like chocolatey.
Yeah, it smells good. If you give it a little whiff, you get a little bit of, like, a creamy, yeah. chocolatey kind of smell to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good. I feel mellow. I feel good. But it's hard to say because, as we have reviewed, I have...
there are other factors involved.
Yeah. Yeah, faux show, faux show. We missed you guys, though. We're excited to be back. It hasn't been, like, a long break or anything. I just...
No, it was... We've actually been posting every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Although I did miss Sunday last week. But I posted on Monday, so that counts.
It counts. We got it in the same week. Here's the thing. We're not... It's not we're like Tuesday. We're not responsible. We're just very responsible in our day-to-day lives. And so, therefore, here you guys get the 420 version of us, okay? We're doing our literal best. I'm particularly particularly excited about Maddie's episode today.
So this was such a big thing, like, fucking, no, I hate to say that, but it's about 10 years ago now.
Oh my god, really? That long?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure her sentence was 10 years. But way back, there was this huge fixation, and then, like, movies, Netflix specials, all this stuff about Gypsy Rose Blanchard. And I wanted to talk about it, especially because she obviously was just released from her prison sentence. And some people know about her. Some people are wondering why the fuck she's all over the news, I would imagine.
Because I know about her, but I don't know, like, the details, really.
Really? I've never seen any of the documentaries.
And I know the general, like, I know what happened, but, like, that's it.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
It's crazy. So strap in. But so Gypsy spent most of her life basically being forced by her mother to pretend that she was suffering from a chronic illness of varying degrees. This is called Munchausen by proxy syndrome. So Munchausen syndrome is where if you were to, say, tell all of the people that you know and love that you have cancer, so, and shave your head just so that you can get sympathy and attention, possibly financial gain if you were to do a GoFundMe for your, you know, medical bills that don't exist. But typically it is a mental illness centered around, like, attention and fame.
So usually it's, like, coming from within, like, just a...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, people are doing that. Actually, fun fact, Eminem's mom had Munchausen by syndrome, by proxy syndrome, and so she used to, when Eminem was younger, claim all of these fake illnesses about him and shit, and it's in some of his raps.
That's so sad. I know. It's just always sad when your shit's projected onto anybody else, but especially kids. It just sucks.
So she would trick doctors, family, friends into believing that she was chronically ill, suffering from leukemia, asthma, muscular dystrophy, vision and hearing impairments, seizures, and other chronic conditions, despite being literally perfectly healthy.
That is
not a single
tragic
thing was actually wrong with her.
Sis didn't even have the allergies.
No. And she was forced to use a wheelchair and a feeding tube, and her mom would consistently shave her head to mimic the effects of cancer treatment for this leukemia.
You might go into this, but was she forced to do that stuff, like, when people weren't around? Like, she was forced to do it all the time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she underwent several unnecessary surgeries, such as having her salivary glands removed.
Jesus.
To keep the deception going, she, Dee Dee, fabricated her birth certificate so that she would be seen as younger, and went to at least 150 doctors over the years.
There's gotta be some type of network that's like, hey, let's link up.
When she would ask questions about her health, Dee Dee would respond with lies. And this is a quote from Gypsy. She said, "Obviously, I knew that I could walk and didn't need a feeding tube, but everything else was a really big confusion for me. Whenever I'd question it, she'd say, I had a seizure the night before and didn't remember."
Tricky, actually.
Creepy.
That's so sad.
So, taking it back, July 27th, 1991 is when she was born in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, to her parents Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard.
Not Claudine.
And Rod Blanchard. Blanchard?
Blanchard. Oh, Blanchard?
I don't know.
Blanchard.
That sounds worse, though, so.
Yeah. You guys can correct us and tell us what's right.
But they separated very shortly before her birth. In the first few years of her life, she was growing just like a normal kid. But by the time she was a toddler, Dee Dee, who was a nurse's aide, began claiming that her daughter was sick. So she was saying that she was having problems sleeping, epilepsy. And then her dad was quoted saying, "All these visits, Dee Dee had to be there the whole time. Something never felt right about it. She was so controlling." And then by the time Gypsy was 8, her mother claimed that she was suffering from leukemia, paralyzed muscular dystrophy. So using the wheelchair and the feeding tube by the time she was 8.
That's so awful.
I know.
And it's got to be so confusing, like she said. Like, you feel completely fine, mm-hmm. but yet you're the person that's supposed to love you the most in the world is putting you through literal torture.
Mm-hmm. Then, in August 2005, Hurricane Katrina obviously ripped through this area of Louisiana, destroying their house. So her and her mom actually relocated to Springfield, Missouri, where Habitat for Humanity built them a small wheelchair accessible home. And
I just remembered something about her, but I don't want to say it in case it comes up later. Remind me later.
Okay, hold on. I just have to
get your water open. Not the pressurized seal.
Excuse me.
Sorry, her water bottle had to air out its grievances.
Okay. So, she claims Gypsy's medical records were destroyed by Hurricane Katrina, including her birth certificate, making it super easy for her to lie about her age and her medical history. And by this time, the media had shared their story, making her into something of a local celebrity. The community rallied around them, showering them with gifts, cash donations, concerts, celebrity meet and greets, a trip to Disney World from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Jesus. No wonder this bitch is lying. She's out here getting showered in presents.
Yeah, so it is attention, but it's obviously also comes with some financial... can come with financial gain.
Yeah, and, like, who knows what, like, her personal motives were. She mm-hmm. could have been mentally unwell or deliberate.
Was, for
like,
sure.
Just been like, I want shit.
Did you ever see the show Medium?
Yeah.
Old
yeah,
show.
Yeah, with the blonde chick?
Yeah.
Yes.
She plays the mom in the HBO series. It was an HBO series.
Oh, so, okay, yes. Because I know Joey King played her. But I never saw it. I never wanted to watch
She's
it because...
so scary in that.
I knew generally the story and it just made me sick a little bit.
Doesn't
this one makes
great.
Me a little unhappy because since my goddaughter was born, especially like anything pertaining to kids, like I want to fucking cut you.
Yeah.
Like my goddaughter got mad at me today and pinched my face on purpose. She looked me in the eyes and said, no, and pinched my skin. And I wanted to beat her little diaper right off those cheeks. And I said, you know what? I love you, honey. I sat her down and I said, I need to go think about what I've done to cause you to feel this way towards me. I can't even imagine hurting her on purpose, like in any capacity.
No,
I can't.
It's
like,
so
even,
awful.
Like, I'm mentally unwell, y'all. Like, I got all the things, except for apparently Munchausen's by proxy. And I just can't imagine it.
No, it's fucked up.
Anyway, I went off on a tangent. I'm going to go back to smoking. You carry on.
So in 2007 and 9, basically, in 2007, one of her former physicians claims he saw red flags when he examined Gypsy for muscular dystrophy and cerebral palsy as well. Threw that in there.
Oh, why not?
He said there was nothing to support either. That kind of made me very suspicious. He says his concerns grew when he told Dee Dee that Gypsy's former diagnoses were wrong. The mother was not happy with that. She left the office in a storm and told my nurses that I don't know what I'm talking about and that she's not coming back. I believe the mother suffers from Munchausen by proxy. He wrote in a letter to her primary care physician. At the time, he did not believe he had enough evidence to alert CPS.
I mean, yeah, because all he really had was that he didn't agree with the previous diagnosis and an
right.
angry mom.
Mm-hmm. So then in March 2008, they move into their house built for them by Habitat for Humanity. They had lived in a rental home before the house was completed. And obviously at this time, still, she was wheelchair bound and used a feeding tube and an oxygen tank. In 2009, according to a police report, a different doctor contacted authorities stating that he could not find any symptoms to support what Dee Dee alleged to be wrong with her daughter.
Jeez. Not a single symptom.
Yeah. But it's sad because
yeah, other
there's
doctors
like
perform surgery.
Yeah. There's they certainly tried, but they didn't make much headway. Can I get the lighter?
Especially Gracias. Back then. When so, it was believed that, like, the mom was the best place for a kid no matter what.
Yeah. But she probably would, well, she absolutely would have been better off with her dad.
Yeah.
Even though he was kind of a little bit of a...
good old Rod.
Mm-hmm. So, in February 2011, she made her first and seemingly only escape attempt after meeting a man at a science fiction convention that she attended with Dee Dee. She began communicating with the man online. He was 19. And... she was 19 at the time, although she claimed, her mom claimed that she was 15.
Jeez.
And he was 35. He took her back to his hotel room, but Dee Dee found them and presented paperwork stating that Gypsy was a minor. And Gypsy recalls Dee Dee saying, if you ever try to do that again, I'm going to smash your fingers with a hammer.
Oh my God. She was going to go full Kathy Bates in Misery.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for all the sneezes, you guys. The smoke keeps going up my nose.
Then Dee Dee smashed her computer and cell phones and chained her to her bed for 2 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
So.
I really had no idea it was that bad.
Mm-hmm. Then in 2012, the year I graduated high school.
I graduated in 06, fam. 06.
So did Danny. No, Danny was 08. Mm. No, it was 06.
The same age?
Mm-hmm. So 2012, Gypsy continued to use the internet and Seeker after Dee Dee went to bed. While using a Christian dating site, she met a man named Nicholas Godjohn. He was from Big Bend, Wisconsin, and had been diagnosed with autism.
Aww. This girl's just out on a Christian dating site, just trying to meet some freedom. She's just trying to meet a little bit of freedom. Trying to walk every once in a while.
Yeah. So, in 2013, Nicholas pleaded no contest to disorderly conduct for a... for allegedly viewing pornography on his laptop at a McDonald's.
Why a McDonald's, bro?
I don't know. That's so funny, though. And inappropriately touching himself.
My man didn't just watch porn. My man went for the full...
experience.
Yeah, he went for the IMAX with, like, Dolby Surround.
In the McDonald's.
In Mickey D's.
So Gypsy and Nick went on to have a secret online relationship for 2.5 years. Which is a long freaking time.
Yeah, that's a long time for, like, a no-contact relationship.
In 2014, this was the first year that Gypsy confided in her neighbor about her relationship with Nick and told this neighbor that she was planning a future with him and had discussed eloping and had sexual exchanges online that included elements of BDSM.
Girl, you drop it right in the deep end.
Alarmed because she believed Gypsy to be a minor, she reportedly tried to talk her out of continuing contact with him, but assumed that the actual plans were just a fantasy. In March 2015, Gypsy and Nick came up with a plan to stage a meeting in real life with Dee Dee present, hoping that she might allow them to date if she thought they met for the first time in person.
Aww.
So he traveled to Springfield, Missouri, just to meet them at a movie theater where they were going to see Cinderella. And obviously the meeting did not go as planned. She hated Nick. But... she still snuck away and lost her virginity to him in the bathroom stall, according to her testimony at the trial.
Mm.
That wasn't in the Netflix or the HBO special.
Girlfriend said, I'm going to get mines.
But...
she said, I might not have a lot of time, but I got a bathroom and some intentions.
Mm-hmm. You got to do what you got to do. And... yeah, I guess after the movie theater incident, she got very jealous that Gypsy was spending too much attention on him and that situation, and she ordered me to stay away from him. And needless to say, that was a very long argument that lasted a couple of weeks, yelling, throwing names, calling me names like bitch, slut, whore. She said.
That woman just, like, could not even handle the thought of that girl having her own life.
She was giving her medications that literally made her teeth fall out, and that's why she had to get, like, veneers.
That's...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that woman must have been messed up.
Mm-hmm. June 2015, on the day of the murder, Nicholas Godejohn traveled to Missouri, checked into a motel, and waited for a text from Gypsy. Because at this point she had basically decided that her only way to escape was for her to die.
Yeah, for those of you who actually haven't heard the story, the whole premise of this is that about the murder of Dee Dee and where the fault lies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is them in their planning and concocting era.
So he checks into the hotel. He's waiting for a text. When he got confirmation that she was asleep, he went to their home where Gypsy gave him a knife, and she went to hide in the bathroom with her hands over her ears while he stabbed Dee Dee to death in her bed.
I don't care how, if your hands are over your ears, though. Like, that's not going to stop me from hearing somebody screaming for their life.
Yeah. She, quote, said, "I honestly thought he would end up not doing it. I heard her scream once, and then there was more screaming, but not like the kind in a horror film, just like a startled scream." And she asked, "Who was it that was in the bedroom?" And then she called out my name 3 or 4 times. And at that point, I wanted to go help her so badly, but I was so afraid to get up. It's like my body wouldn't move, and everything just went quiet.
It's like you were paralyzed and unable to walk. I'm sorry. I have a hard time feeling bad for that bitch.
Then they say that they had sex in her bed, not with the mom, in Gypsy's bed.
Oh, okay. That got so dark so fast, yeah. And I was so worried. Okay, okay, okay.
Immediately following the murder.
That's still foul.
Yeah. After the murder.
It's giving premeditation.
Yeah, it is premeditated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. June 14th, 2015, after the murder, they stayed overnight in his motel in Springfield before catching a bus to his home in Big Bend, Wisconsin. That afternoon, a pair of disturbing posts appeared on Dee Dee's Facebook page stating that bitch is dead.
You almost got away with it. I know. It's so close. It's so close.
They probably could have gotten away with it, but it gets worse. That was the first message. Leading friends and neighbors to wonder whether the account had been hacked. But the second message made it clear that something was wrong, causing the neighbors to alert the police. Quote, "I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud, LOL.
Well, you might as well say, my name is Rachel and I live at 555-555 Street. Come and get me. I'll be waiting at the front porch.
What the fuck? On Dee Dee's Facebook page. That's so crazy.
My brain is still wrapping around it. Carry on. I can't. I can't. They're harshing my high.
So, it was later confirmed that Gypsy urged Nick to post the updates to ensure that Dee Dee's body would be found. I couldn't stand the thought of her just there. Because what happens if it would have taken months to find her? So I wanted her to be found so she could have a proper burial.
Okay, well, so could you. For ratting yourself out.
Yeah. After obtaining a warrant, police entered the house, found Dee Dee's body. Police, the neighbor told police about Gypsy and Nick's relationship. The police were able to obtain his IP address from Facebook.
They might as well have just left a little fucking trail of breadcrumbs right to him.
They did. So they tracked him right on down to his house in Wisconsin, like, within a day.
Right on down to Big Bend.
Like, one day. That's all it took. June 15th, police agencies in Wisconsin raided his home. So this is the 14th. They post that. The 15th, they're raiding his house.
Hope she enjoyed her freedom for 4 seconds.
raided his house, took them into custody on charges of murder and felony armed criminal action, and they were extradited back to Missouri and held on a $1 million bond.
Gypsy. Okay.
Although friends and family were initially relieved to hear that she had been found alive because they thought she was fucking kidnapped.
They thought she was fucking raped.
And handicapped and wheelchair bound and had fucking cerebral palsy and goddamn no teeth. Like fucking leukemia. Jesus Christ.
How is she alive?
They were like, oh shit, she's alive.
Fucking like Michael Myers.
And it turns out she's just a fucking normal person. Like, I mean, she just doesn't have anything wrong with her.
So now they're all just like, oh no, Gypsy, this poor girl's been assaulted, mm-hmm. and she's with the criminal.
So then the sheriff said, things are not always as they appear. And obviously it emerged that she had never been sick, and that Dee Dee had engineered the years-long ruse that had fooled their entire community. July 5th, 2016, so about a year later, she pleaded guilty to murdering Dee Dee. In a sense, second-degree murder, and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. At the sentencing, they noted the extraordinary and unusual, that was really too hard to read, circumstances of the case, and while he believed that he could have secured a first-degree murder conviction for Gypsy, which carried the death penalty or life without the possibility of parole in the state of Missouri, he didn't believe it would be fair given the abuse that she had suffered.
Where does your opinion fall on that?
That would be all well and good if there wasn't a third party in this scenario who does go to jail for life. Nicholas Godejohn, in November of 2018, was found guilty of first-degree murder after a four-day trial, during which Gypsy testified about the plan to kill Dee Dee, and that it had originated with her, and spoke about a master and slave role that she and Nick assumed within the relationship. And she also testified that he wanted to rape Dee Dee on the night of the murder, and that she had offered herself to him in her mother's place.
So I feel like he deserves life in prison. To me,
if she's telling the truth about that,
to me, I view it as she's definitely manipulative because she got it from her mom, from watching it her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But that child endured physical torture,
yeah,
for her entire life.
She did.
So I argue that her mental state was not competent in making decisions because she didn't know a real life. She knew a life of torture, like physical human torture.
Yeah.
At the hands of the only person that was in her life. She had no communication, no
friends. But she didn't do it herself. She got another kid involved.
Because I think she's not stupid, but I don't think that she was intelligent. I don't think that she was in a mental state to understand the implications fully, even though in my mind I think she seems very manipulative now that she's mm-hmm. out. But you have to remember that now she's talking 10 years older as an adult recalling information.
Mm-hmm.
At the time this happened, she was still like a child mindset.
Oh, yeah.
This was well before prison taught her mm-hmm. life, you know? So, yeah, I think she manipulated that other person for sure. But I don't think she was wrong for wanting her
dead. No, I don't think so.
Like,
either.
I just don't.
No.
Y'all can comment me for my unpopular opinion.
She was psychotic. She said she was going to smash her hand with a fucking hammer.
I would have been afraid to live my life for the rest of my life if the person who tortured me my whole life was still walking on Earth.
Uh-huh.
I would feel like I was suffocated.
1,000%.
Okay, I'm glad we're in agreement.
Yeah. But he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for first-degree murder and a concurrent 25-year sentence on charge of armed criminal action.
I mean, that is unfortunate, but I mean, it's not unfortunate because he did murder someone and he did commit the action, and the fact that he said he wanted to assault her mm-hmm. just makes me feel like icky. I got the ick about him.
Yeah, that is if she's telling the truth about that.
Yeah, but then he agreed to make that post.
It was her idea, though.
Yeah. Okay, carry on. I'll see.
So, April 2019. February 22nd, 2019. He's sentenced to life without the possibility of parole.
Okay.
April 2019. She's engaged.
To someone else?
Yeah.
Wait.
They met as pen pals and dated for a year and a half before their engagement.
How's that?
Gypsy and Ryan Scott Anderson get married June 2022.
Okay. Okay. Keep going.
The couple begins exchanging emails in May of 2020 after Anderson reaches out to Gypsy. Due to the pandemic, the couple did not meet in person until 2021. Our prison wedding was just something to where we can make our vows to each other. It was something that meant something to us.
Okay. I mean, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me question. But then again, that could still lead back to just mental immaturity.
Oh.
And she's used to a single caregiver, so she needs another caregiver, and the person that, you know, killed the other one is in jail away from her. So I think she's just a survivor, but, like, she doesn't consider the implications it has on other people.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get. Like, she's doing what she gotta do for her, mm-hmm. and I commend that.
Mm-hmm.
But.
So, December 27th, ahead of her release from prison, she reveals that she regrets the murder. Okay. Sure. Nobody will ever hear me say, I'm glad she's dead, or I'm proud of what I did. I regret it every single day.
I think you're lying.
If I had another chance to redo everything, I don't know if I would go back to when I was a child and tell my aunts and uncles that I'm not sick and mommy makes me sick. I don't know what that means. That
she means she wants to go back in time. Well, I know,
but she just said it weird.
Oh, yeah.
So, December 28th, 2023... just a few months ago, she was released from prison after serving 85% of her prison sentence. So, 8.5 years.
That's not very long.
And, yeah, she's been out. There's been a lot of controversy because she keeps saying shit and going on all these talk shows.
Yes. And, like, some of her stuff is a little inconsistent.
And there's some implications there. They could always reopen aspects of the case, I think I was reading. But
yeah, because I think, like, I don't know that much about it, but I think, like, double jeopardy is real. Like, you can't be tried for the same...
No, not the same exact charge.
But, like, they can definitely find other ways to mm-hmm. loophole things.
Yeah, it's interesting. And she out here.
I'm curious to know your opinion. So for those of you who listen, do me a favor and go to Instagram and, like, engage over there. We'll make a post today before we post this of what this episode is about. Go to that post. And I just want to hear if you think, like, if you're on Gypsy's side or Dee Dee's side. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a handful of you, I'm going to be looking. Okay? So imagine I'm talking directly to you, whoever you are. And I expect to see you specifically on my Instagram with your answer. Okay?
Okay.
Was that it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
But,
that's the story of Gypsy Rose?
Yeah, and then... yeah. I can't remember if she's still with this guy, though.
She is.
She is.
Yeah, because I saw them together. Okay. Yeah, she's still with him.
So I thought there might have been a turn of events since I did my notes.
No, not that I'm aware of. They were, like, happily married, like, 2 weeks ago when I saw her on TV.
Oh.
Or TikTok. Yeah. Okay, we feel good about this.
Fair enough.
If we're wrong, you can tell us that, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We love you so, so much. Okay, bye.
Bye.